Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Conversations with My Conscience. Once again, my dad is still moving houses, so I'm filming with Afaf again, but I'm filming with dad after tomorrow. But I don't know which one's going to be released first. So anyway, you know, into Haskom. So Afaf, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Leila. Why are you laughing?
Because you're so used to corporate. The way you talk, it's hilarious.
Thank you, Leila, for having me. You know, guys, she actually thought the last episode was one of her favorites.
It was.
So, no, I'm super honored. I actually thought it was a bad episode because from my side, but it's good to know that some people actually, you know, responded well to it.
Yeah, it was so funny. The comments were very cut in the middle. They were either like, we needed an all girls episode every now and then. And there were a lot of comments were like, I'm only here for Baba. Like, okay, me too, bro, me too, but he's not here.
What did you say? We can't please the masses.
Yeah, you can't, you can never please the masses.
You cannot please the masses.
Yeah.
So I think this episode is freestyle.
Freestyle.
Freestyle, freestyle. Yeah. Not really planned, so I think it's going to be very interesting.
But by the way, most of my episodes aren't planned. We just pre-planned like certain questions that you'd ask me last time because it was your first time and I didn't want you to feel unprepared, but usually with my dad, it's very khalas, we just go for it.
I love that for you. That's crazy, by the way. Mashallah. Knocking wood.
Okay.
All right. I think let's get into it. So, I know Leila super well. Mm-hmm. She's one of my, I mean, you're one of my best friends. Mm-hmm. And Leila has this thing where she's obsessed with quotes. And she knows a lot about quotes. And I think it's so beautiful. So I have a couple of quotes here that are from your profile that I actually want to get into because sometimes you think quotes are quite obvious when they're really not. Mm-hmm. So let's get into it.
Okay.
So this one was posted on June 19th.
There's no need for the dates. There's just...
Oh, let me do it. I thought I added like quite a flair in there. Okay. The child...
I knew you were going to start with that one because there's no source for that proverb, but I think it's an African proverb.
Exactly. The child who is not embraced by the village will burn it down.
To feel its warmth. Yeah. So I initially came across that quote when I wasn't the best version of myself, when I was still very much an angsty teenager in my 20s, because you'd be surprised, a lot of people remain angsty teenagers all throughout their adulthood because they don't move on from past trauma and. So I came across that in my early 20s when I first moved to Dubai. And it almost... So here's the thing. You know how you said quotes can seem obvious?
But not so obvious.
But not so obvious. So when I first read that, it almost validated my angstiness, you know, like that's why I rebelled because I wasn't embraced by the village. That's why I rebelled because I was bullied. That's why I rebelled because my parents didn't understand me, which, you know, is all fine and dandy. And it seems like it's the right course. So I'll tell you one thing. I was talking to one of my followers yesterday. Actually, I'm going to take a little pause and go back to it. So I'm not going to share her family name. Her name's Sanida. And I'm just going to ask everyone who's listening or watching if they can take a second to send her a prayer and just some blessings and love because she's going through the ringer, but she's such a strong soul and she watches this podcast religiously and she, despite whatever she faces, wants to see the light in it and the best in it. And I admire that so much. So if everyone can send Sanida a little prayer and a little love, I think it'll go a long way. She's such a sweet girl. I really like that that we've been talking. So I was talking to her and I told her sometimes our ego gets in the way, right? It may seem when I tell you not to validate all of your feelings, there is a resistance and I understand it more than I can explain because it's the ego. You think that I'm not validating your emotions or I'm asking you to suppress them, but it's not that at all. How can you suppress what you've accepted? How can you deny what you are in fact validating? Because when I tell you to embrace it and to just accept it and be grateful for it and let it go, the natural consequence of that is that you have fully validated it. You have fully validated its reason to have been here and its lessons that it bestowed upon you, and then the fact that it's gone and it's left you scarred. You know what I mean? The experiences that we go through, they're gone, but they have left a mark. And by embracing it and letting it go, you've done everything you think you're not doing. So I understand that the ego has its initial resistance, but it's temporary if you just break through that. So with that quote, I realized that the village not embracing me was the best thing that ever happened to me. I grew up in a big fish, small pond kind of girl. I grew up in Amman. So, you know, people there are still there.
I mean, I, you know that I went to Amman a couple of summers. I think around like 5 summers. I'd go every single summer because my dad had a house there. And again, no disrespect to the people or the community there.
They're the kindest people, by the way. They're the sweetest, most amazing people.
By the way, Arab hospitality, especially the Levant hospitality, is one of the best in the planet, for sure. Yeah. And really no disrespect. But I think when it comes to social and the younger generation, I just found myself so out of place. Like, I couldn't really connect with them. But then again, like me growing up in Dubai and LA, it was very hard for me to connect with them because I felt that they were too traditional in that sense. Like, you know, how men, you know, like how women are seen traditionally. I felt like it was very much like that in Amman. And by the way, they can look at me or, you know, look at me and say, this girl is too outspoken or, you know, like, you know, not traditional at all. So it goes both ways.
That's interesting. That's never an issue I faced in Jordan. Most women in Jordan are too outspoken for their own good, if you ask me. But it's not about that. The thing is, it's no disrespect to Jordan or the people there. Any person who left their small town, hometown, will tell you, like, khalas, I stood out like a sore thumb and I went and I did my own thing and I prospered and. I still love my people more than anything. I would do anything for them. But it's because I'm no longer emotionally attached to whatever has happened. You know what I mean? Like I said, big fish, small pond. And just, I'm very grateful. How will you know you're a big fish if you haven't been suffocated by a small pond? You know what I mean? How would I ever have known? How would I think my soul always yearned for more. I think I always craved more. And there was so much pushback. But that's fine. People judge what they don't understand. People fight what they don't understand. People go as far as to kill what they do not understand. So as long as I know and I understand and see it in a different lens and I've become better for it, that's all that matters. But you can't keep being emotionally attached to the past. I think that's really important.
For sure. I mean, definitely not emotionally attached.
Yeah.
But it's always good to kind of look back and reflect on the past, not nostalgia.
With understanding. For sure.
With understanding.
Of course. This is what differentiates the people who have healed and the people who have not, and they carry their trauma and their burdens forward with them. It's the ones who look back with nostalgia and the ones who look back with understanding. I remember very, very acutely how it felt to look back with nostalgia and with regret and that only hindered my growth and my progress and my future. Once I understood and I accepted and I let go and I looked back with understanding, then there's no emotional attachment and my future is better for it, because history doesn't recycle or repeat itself. Not history aids the future, if you will it to do so.
For sure. I mean, we're super close, right? You know, almost everything.
Every time you say that, I'm like, what is she about to say?
No. I mean, we're super close. You know, I think almost everything about me, and I know a lot about you, right?
Yeah.
Don't worry, I'm not making this personal.
It's okay. But you can say whatever you want.
No, really. My thought wasn't going to anything personal. It's more of a general, you know, it's more of like a general statement, is that a lot has happened to me and you. I mean, you know everything that's happened to me.
Yeah.
And one amazing thing is that actually, I'm really not just saying this because you're here, is that, you know, being friends with you over the past 2 years has really taught me to look at the past in a very nostalgic, very, you know, bittersweet way, right?
Okay.
Prior to meeting you, I had a lot of regret, bitterness, a lot of, oh, I wish this happened differently, or I wish I could change this, or I wish I could go back. And for most of my 20s, I lived like that. I lived and I would always reflect on the past and I would say, what if this went differently? What if, for example, what if my parents didn't divorce? What if I stayed in the States and I wasn't forced to move to, you know, the other side of the world to like, you know, adopt more Arabic traditions and learn Arabic? But honest to God, or even, I told you the other day, I was super bitter about my dad for the longest time for not letting me be able to study abroad or outside.
Yeah.
I held so much bitterness and I was very envious of, like, you know, my brothers and my sister. And I always wondered why wasn't I given that chance? But honestly, like, knowing you and obviously watching your podcast and your reels, it really taught me that I just look basically, long story short, I just look at everything in the past in such a bittersweet and in a beautiful way. Yeah. You know, when I look back at the past and think about everything and what everything has led up to.
Yeah.
I think of it in a really nice, euphoric way.
Yeah.
And I think it's good. You know, for me being 31 now, I just feel like I'm good. You know, I'm good with what is now. I'm good with what was then. Even though then was horrible and horrid, but I'm okay now. You know what I mean?
I fully understand. And subhanAllah, we do have very similar histories, which I found very uncanny. I didn't study abroad. I dropped out of university, by the way. I think college is a waste of time. I really do. Unless you're going to be maybe a lawyer or a surgeon, you don't really need it. You don't. I'm living proof of that. And a lot of people are living proof of that. But I couldn't study abroad. And my siblings went to study abroad. And for multiple reasons that I don't really necessarily have to get into. And it left a mark at first, you know? I ignored it because I used to think I'm a tough cookie. And I was like, yeah, I don't care. It's fine. But obviously, deep down internally, it left a mark. Until everything that has happened to my life recently. And I would not be where I am today if I had gone abroad. You know what I mean? If I had finished university. I quit uni to start working. Best decision I ever made. I've been working since I was 16. I tutored in high school and I tutored all throughout the few years that I was in university before I dropped out. And then I dropped out and started working. So I've been working since I was 15, 16. And then quit college to start working. And it's the best decision I ever made, bro. Oh my God, where would I be now if I had wasted another 4 years in college, maybe another year or two for a master's? I would have been... It doesn't matter. But I'm very, 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 very happy with where I am now. Alhamdulillah. And that only happened because I chose to see the blessings in whatever God denied me. Because he didn't deny me. He protected me from myself and pushed me towards the plans that he had in store for me. You know, because I plan, you plan, and, you know, God has his plans. And I would humble myself and honestly screw my plans. His plans wait. They weigh more. They mean more. They're more impactful. They're anything. They're beyond what you and I can even imagine. You know, which reminds me of a quote that says, "You cry over the possible, and he is the Lord of the impossible." This is true. We find ourselves most of the time so defeated and broken down by just everyday possible things. And he is the Lord of the impossible. And what he has given me wasn't even in my wildest dreams. It is absolutely, if you go back to 16-year-old Layla, I would have told you there is no way. I would have told you it's an impossibility, for sure.
That's crazy. I mean...
If you had gone, sorry to interrupt you, if you had gone to uni, you wouldn't have met Yuri.
Yeah, I mean...
Maybe we wouldn't have met. Do you know what I mean? You maybe wouldn't have met your husband.
Of course, absolutely. I mean, you know what's crazy is before, I think not, it hasn't been so long where I was just fully content and comfortable and so, you know, so grateful for everything. It hasn't been that long for me to accept this new norm, right? Because before, you know, I mean, I would say like in my 20s,
yeah.
It was just all about what if this, what if that, or...
Like, what if the past or the future?
No, so for me, what's funny is that it's very interesting. I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, but I dwell in the past, back then, old Afaf, would dwell in the past, questioning the past,
yeah,
more than thinking towards the future, Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. That's actually concerning. Actually, now that I say that out loud, that is actually concerning.
Yeah.
But that's not me anymore.
Yeah.
That's just not me anymore. But yeah. I think long story short is that I think one of the most beautiful places to reach in life mm-hmm. for any person is just, as you've said, accepting whatever God's grace has for you or has in store for you. I think that's the best way to live life, right?
I agree.
Just accepting everything. I think that's the best way to live. And they're honest to God. There is no other way to live. Life is, if you think about it, everything around you with today's world, it's not so great. So how do you...
Yeah, that's true. But this is something my dad told me at a very young age. And I think I say this to him all the time, but I subconsciously learned it through his words and his behaviors. We know all the bad that's out there. Of course you do.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be a fool or willingly blind not to know all the atrocities that are taking place across the world today. We know it. We just don't focus on it.
Of course.
You know, so I know all the bad things that could happen to me, of course, to my family, God forbid, but it's not what I focus on. I choose to see the good because I am of the firm belief, lo khirbat, if there was no one good left, God would have shut this down a long time ago.
Oh, absolutely.
We would have been done.
Okay, that was very beautiful.
Thanks.
No, but honestly, I mean, yeah, you know, it's just...
I gave you a compliment.
Oh, thank you so much.
The ones you keep saying I'm too bad at giving.
No.
It's not that I'm bad. I don't know when... I'm a very hopeless romantic. I am. I love romance. I love love. I love sweetness. I'm just trying to figure out when I stopped vocalizing my sweetness. Because we talked to my dad about this the other time. That I'll look at you and I'll be like, she's so beautiful or she's so kind. She's so sweet. Oh, she looks amazing today. And I'll think it. I just won't say it. And then 2 seconds later, you'll turn around and you'll be like, Layla, you look beautiful today. And I was like, I was just thinking you look beautiful, but I didn't vocalize it. And I've been working on it.
I think you know, I mean, with us, just because we know each other so well, right? And I think we know each other to the point that we can kind of anticipate, like, even a facial expression. I'll know what Layla's thinking. Or even
psychological warfare.
Yeah, even a hand gesture, I'll know. But honestly, like, I think one of the most special, I would say, friendship when it comes to women is knowing that I know you know these things about me and you don't even have to say it out loud because I feel it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but we're women. We like to hear it from our female friends and our
we'd like to hear
partners
it.
Alike.
Yeah. Of course. But yes. I mean, like, I know you think my hair looks good today or my makeup. I know
always
it.
I think your hair looks good and your makeup looks good.
All right.
Yeah.
There is one thing actually I did want to discuss. This is actually one of your most viral videos on TikTok and Instagram. Okay. And I think it's funny. So basically this video is men are not men anymore.
Yeah.
So obviously when I was looking through the comments across Instagram and TikTok.
Wait, is this the one where the dude did a remix of it?
No, correction. So one guy did a parody on that video.
It's why not men a parody. Are, it's literally...
It's like a parody, no?
Am I allowed to open it? Is it gonna... But Adham, my friend, who's a trainer at 7 Gym, go check him out. He's amazing. I love how I'm just plugging in little shots here. He sent me this. He put a comment. He's like, you know you're famous when they start making Yu-Gi-Oh videos of you,
men
okay?
Aren't proper men anymore.
So then where is your hijab and why aren't you praying in the mosque?
And to me, one of the gravest sins a man can commit against a woman is wasting her time.
Y'all want men to be real men, yet you're acting like a CEO.
But basically, yeah, there was an... Oh, sorry. But basically, there was an edit of me. Here's the thing. I've said this time and time again. I even have people sliding into my DMs like, can you please clarify what you meant by you're not a feminist? And then even the video I posted yesterday about Sidna Khadija alayhi salam, radiallahu anha, I'm sorry my dad isn't here, so I'll say both. And the first university in the world being by a Muslim woman, her name is Fatima Al-Fihri, if I'm not mistaken, and the university is in Morocco today, modern day Morocco. And people in the comments are just like, but you can be a feminist and still this still rings true. I would like to have it, let the jury state that term feminist is a very new coined term, and I don't care about it because I have my Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. I have my religion, I have my leaders, I have my spirituality. I don't care for modern day terms. I don't care for the term toxic masculinity. I don't care for the term feminist. I don't care for the term patriarchy. It's the, if there's the one word I hate, it's patriarchy. I don't get it anymore. I don't, it's been overused. It means nothing anymore. But that's my point. When I say I'm not a feminist, people are like, can you clarify what you meant? I have my books. I have my Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. I have my God, I have my religion, I have my masters, my leaders, my father, all the hadith, I have so much. And you want me to go to Amricha and get their definition of modern day feminism, and you want me to abide by that. And then you call me a fool because I follow archaic religions. And you're what?
You know what's interesting? So I'm obviously Islamically married, right? And it's so funny, when I went, so my husband is Dutch.
Yeah.
So when I went, we got married. So when we went to the Netherlands in the summer last year, everyone who doesn't know enough about anything will always make fun of something, right? Yes, it is the way it is, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So they would just make, a lot of his friends or peers or family friends would make jokes on, oh, now you can't, for example, now you can't, now she doesn't have permission to leave home without you. Everything is just so taken out of context. And you know what's so funny is I just silence them and I say, if you know Islam properly and the way women are put in a pedestal, you will understand that women are so protected like any other religion or any other system, right? So it's crazy.
It is. So with that video, it's very interesting. If I say anything about the women, like I said, the feminists come out with their pitchforks. If I say anything about men, the incels come out with their keyboards. There's just, like you said, you can't please the masses. You can be the sweetest peach in the world, but there's still going to be somebody who hates peaches. And it's not even about that. I don't care about feminism, patriarchy, toxic masculinity, the alpha bros. I don't care about any of it. If you are a bad person in the wrong, I do not care if you are a man or a woman, if you're rich or poor, I'm coming for you.
So actually, I'll
I'm going, like that video, by the way, men who screw up have put themselves in a position to be criticized. Women who screw up have put themselves in a position to be criticized. So I stand by what I said. Men who waste a woman's time are no longer men. You know what I mean? Women who do other unwomanly, unfeminine, ungodly things are no longer proper women to me. If you f*** up, Reem's gonna bleep this, I will come for you. It's just the way it is. I don't care about your gender. I don't care about your position. I don't care about where you come from, who you are, what your last name is. If you are in the wrong, I will come for you. I have God by my side because guess what, babe? I come after myself. That's why I'm so strict with myself. We had to talk about this the other day, but anyway. My dead skin's flying everywhere because I'm peeling.
No, there's one thing. I think there's one thing that I love about this podcast and that really sets this podcast apart from the rest, because there's so many out there, right?
Yeah.
It's, I love the fact that you have a stance on what is right. You don't have a stance towards women in particular per se, and you don't have a stance towards in particular men per se.
Yeah.
And I love that. I think that's so refreshing. In today's world, it's just a war of genders, of, you know,
of ideologies and so on. Yeah. I understand. The thing is about today is everyone's opinion is so fickle. Everyone's opinion is so I don't even know what the right word is. We have bil Arabi. I always, especially to my brother, I always warn him. I'm like, be careful. ما تكون نوع الزلم اللي ريح بجيبك وريح بتوديك دانك مع أي حدا. That means the wind can't sway you left and then the wind sways you right again, and you give your ear to every Tom, Dick, and Harry. You have to, as a human being, have proper morals and ethics that are grounded in something. Mine are grounded in God, my faith, my religion, my Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. my masters, my books, my father especially. So when you come at me with terms like feminism or the patriarchy or whatever, I don't care for them because I know how my God wants me to live my life. I know right from wrong. I know where to go and who to look at. And that's the problem with most of these people, especially these trolls on Instagram, is that they don't know what they're talking about. They heard a term coined by God knows who. It suited their needs and then they just go with it. But that's ريح بتجيبك ريح بتوديك. Push comes to shove, you fall like a house of cards. It is inevitable. That's why it's so important to me. So I tell people to find nothing is more grounded than God. Nothing, because you could be faced with any position, any problem, any situation, any person, and you know exactly what to do.
You know what's interesting? Diverging a little bit here, but just onto your point, is that I have a lot of friends who claim to be atheists. I don't believe atheists exist, but anyways, they claim to be atheists.
I agree with that statement.
But it was such a long time ago, but honestly, I remember this conversation like night and day. And I was talking to my friend, and basically he was telling me a story about how, actually two stories. Once he was in an airplane and it was just very bad weather, very bad turbulence. And he was freaked out.
Yeah.
So he's an atheist or a...
The first thing they'll do is pray to God.
So he said, I started praying to God. X, Y, Z. I was praying to God. I was crying. All of that. I'm like, interesting. The second story is that he was hospitalized. And really hospitalized. Very critical condition. I won't say what it is. But he actually thought that...
He was going
to
die?
It was, you know, the end of his life or he wouldn't make it. So he started praying to God. And what's funny is that he started praying to God to the point that, oh, if I live tomorrow, if you let me live, I will be a proper Muslim.
Okay.
And I will believe in you.
Okay.
Obviously, good for him. He lived. But
he didn't.
He's still an atheist.
So. I don't know what to do with this information.
it's more of a statement because it just brings back to your point of people will take everything from Buddha, Krishna, Siddhartha, and all of these people. They will take what they like and what works for them and what caters to their needs, but they will never fully believe or, you know, try to adopt the right way of things. That's what I mean.
I agree. I think... My dad doesn't like it when I reference the West too much because he's like every region has its issues and true. I fully, fully, fully agree.
Yeah.
But I used to not appreciate strictness because I only understood it as lack of freedom and misunderstanding. But then I realized that it's not necessarily strictness and it's discipline. You can't tolerate everything. You can't, I don't tolerate everything. And, you know, I used to feel this way internally. And then I heard Andrew Tate put it into words and other people. And I was like, yes, that's what I've been trying to say. You cannot possibly tolerate everything. I don't tolerate everything. I don't tolerate disrespect. I don't tolerate abuse. I don't tolerate it towards myself, towards the ones I care about. First and foremost, before anything, towards my God and my Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. I don't tolerate theft. I don't tolerate unnecessary meanness. And when I say I don't tolerate it, it's not just that I turn a blind eye and I act like it didn't happen. I will go to war for it. Do you know what I mean? It means I will give my life for it. I am willing to die for my beliefs. And this is, what do you mean you tolerate everything? In what world? Like, live and let live. Really? How's that working out for you? Let me know. How's that working out for you guys? Are you being able to pay for your bread? I mean that literally. Live and let live, baby girl.
Live and let live.
Live and let live. What does that even mean?
Oh, well. I've never heard that. And what if I did, I'd lose my mind.
Babe,
what do you mean?
Ugh, live, laugh, love.
This
you know
is
what
for
I
sure
mean?
A Pinterest or a Tumblr.
Yeah, yeah, babe. Live, laugh, love.
I don't think anyone
own.
Intelligent has ever.
You'd be surprised.
Okay, well, you know what? I like I said earlier today, and I always tell you this, this world doesn't shock me anymore.
I mean, yeah, this is true. But yeah, and the thing is, here's the thing. You want to test a person's tolerance. Treat them the way they treat you. Honestly, you want to test a person's true morals, ethics, and colors. C.S. Lewis has a quote. I'm going to butcher it. forgiveness sounds sweet to most or to everyone until they themselves have someone to forgive. It's something along those lines. And it's so true. Everyone's preaching, you know, live and let live. Forgive them. Don't harbor that energy, you know? It's not good for you. Until they themselves have someone who has wronged them. And then look at the pity party that happens. Look at the martyrdom, the victimhood. Everyone and their mother has heard the story. Look at it. It's, you know, people, it's so easy to preach things and not apply them to yourselves is what I've learned. And that's why I'm so disciplined and strict with myself. Because my dad, it's interesting. We filmed these podcasts, obviously. And then, subhanAllah, I used to tell Claudia this all the time. Be careful what comes out of your mouth. God will test you with it. I used to tell her, be careful what you claim. And it's not just because she did something. It's just something I believe in general. And this is when we would have our late night conversations on the couch and just discuss all things life and beauty. But I really do believe this. Be careful what comes out of your mouth. Be careful of the words you utter. Be careful of the claims that you make, because you will be tested. If you claim you are something, God will test you with it. If you claim you would behave a certain way or take a certain courageous stance, push comes to shove, God will test you with it. So with these podcasts, God tested me. And I would call my father, and he would very nonchalant, very calmly, very not even nothing, unfazed, practice what you preach. And you know what I mean? And that's why C.S. Lewis's quote is so important, because forgiveness sounds so sweet to everyone until they themselves have someone to forgive. Everyone practice, seldom do people practice what they preach. Everyone preaches and throws comments and makes these big claims, you know, because it's so easy when you're sitting at home in your AC. It's so easy. Push comes to shove. If you're out in the streets, yalla, show me what you do. Because I've tested myself, you know, not even tested myself. God has tested me. And I know what I do and what I don't do. I'm very aware of it. I'm very aware of it. I'm very aware of my weaknesses. And I'm also aware of my strengths, you know.
That was beautiful.
Thanks.
It struck a chord.
You know what I mean? I really, you are what you believe you are. You are what you say you are. You are what you give to the world. You are what you accept in return. All of those cliches you hear, I cannot explain to you how they all ring true. But you are, most importantly, your decisions.
Oh, absolutely.
If every action you take every day, they're little blocks and they're little things that either pick at your soul or feed them or add to them or fuel them. And most people, unfortunately, they don't practice what they preach. It's so easy to make claims, babe. It's so easy to say you are what you are not. Who's going to stop you? You know? But in my experience, in my reality, God has stopped me. Because what other option do I have?
Yeah.
So that's why I stand by everything that I say all the time, and fight me on it, debate me on it, present your ideas. Because I know what I'm saying. And if I make a claim, it's I stand by it. It's I will die for it. Otherwise, it's just I'm just yapping, and that's really quite pointless.
So actually, I want to go back to the Yu-Gi-Oh!
Oh, the men?
Yeah, no, honestly, look.
I stand by my statements. Men aren't men anymore.
Definitely. I agree with you. And I believe a lot of women do agree with you based on what people have commented, right? Steve Harvey as well has claimed that men today aren't men. So mm-hmm. has Andrew Tate or the Tates. But if you can just further clarify or further explain in a different way, just so kind of men get it, because I just feel like they don't. Why, like, what makes, what, how did you, like, kind of coin or, like, put this into term, men are not men?
You know, it's interesting. I read a few of the comments, not too many of them. And a lot of men said some filthy things, and they're just like, oh, you're projecting, and this is your experience. And I'm like, you have no idea what you're talking about. Which, again, I'm not here to, like, clarify that or unmuddy those waters. But it is a true statement whether I've been through it or not. Do you know what I mean? Like, what I said in that specific video, I was saying that if a man wastes a woman's time and he knows she wants to be married, she wants to have kids, she wants to start a family, and you continue to date her and waste her time knowing that you don't plan on making an honest woman out of her, you are, objectively speaking, wasting her time. And that makes you not a proper man. That statement remains true whether I have experienced it myself or I have not. It doesn't matter. And this is why people need to remove their feelings and their experiences from things, because there are things that are objective truths. And that's why I'm saying this. A man is a man, and there are ways to know how a man is a proper man. And a woman is a woman, and there are ways to know if a woman is living in her purpose and being a good woman. It doesn't matter if I've been through it, or you've been through it, or Tom, Dick, and Harry have been through it. These are objective truths. You know, my dad and I always say, like, I feel and you feel and his feelings, but where's the haqq? And in Islam, it is the thing that matters more than anything. It's haqq. So yeah, I stand by my statement. A man wastes a woman's time. You are not a man. Stop telling me, oh, women aren't ready. Women are ready to spread their legs. Okay, go find a woman who's not. You know what I mean? Because I say this even to the girls. When the girl comes and tells me, oh, a man wasted my time, go find a man who won't. Stop crying and complaining. You know what I mean? It's in your hands. Don't tell me, as a man or a woman, don't tell me that, oh, life just happened to me. You know what I mean? I just wasted 2 years with someone. Go find someone who won't waste your time. There are objective truths in this world, and it has nothing to do with our feelings. My feelings could change right now. The truth remains the same. It doesn't falter. It doesn't
move. You know, there's one thing I do admire about you. I mean, there are quite a few admirations. I'm kidding. There's one thing, no. There's one thing that I do admire about
you. I'm flicking
you
off under the table.
I know you are. No, there's one of the things that I admire about you, and truly, it's your dignity and self-respect towards yourself. How you will, if let's just say X guy comes to you, you will not allow to be fooled. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You will not. You will put a stop to that. And that's beautiful, because a lot of women today are being, you know, are going with the flow. And going with the flow, which is what I hate.
I don't see, my dad and I talked about this, and then we agreed after I explained what I meant. I don't like women going with the flow. What are you going with the flow with? The gutter? You can swim with the craps and shits all you want. Like, we can go with the flow with the gutter. And this applies to men and women alike. You can go with the flow with the gutter. But what am I going with the flow with? Why would I do that? You know what? I usually don't give personal examples, but I will. I had, if they watch this, it's going to be hilarious. I'll give two examples. I had a person, a guy, show interest. And you know me, I'm reserved, I'm careful, and I don't allow just anyone to enter my space, physically, emotionally, spiritually, whatever it is. And we went out for coffee, lovely time, blah, blah, blah. Obviously, they wanted to see me again. Never actually did anything about it. I drove home, they didn't check on me, did you get home? The second I got to my house, 5 minutes gone by, you don't message me, did you get home? Okay, we're done. We're done. And some people can say this is maybe a little too strict, or you're not giving a person a chance, but زلمي ما بيسأل عني ما بيعني لي. That means a man who doesn't ask about me, isn't concerned with my well-being, means nothing to me.
Is not someone your husband.
He's someone else's problem. Like, and by the way, he might do that for someone else. That's his wife. He might never do that for someone. I don't care what he does. But that's just, he's not my concern. Does that make sense? And then I had another person show a lot of interest, blah, blah, blah. Fine, cute, dandy, lovely. And then messaged me, when are you inviting me for coffee? Have you lost your mind? Do I look like
chivalry is dead?
Do I look like the kind of woman you ask, when are you inviting me for coffee? Have you lost your marbles? Never. This long number is no longer in service. Listen, it's not about being strict for the sake of being strict. It's just about, I've wasted time before. It gets you nowhere. You know what I mean? And what I've really, really learned is that life is just, it's too short, and it's too beautiful, and it's too sweet to let a man or a woman ruin it for you. There are some beautiful men and women out there. So this applies to both men and women. If a man's wasting your time, if a woman's wasting your time, drop them. There is someone out there who's not going to waste your time. Life is too beautiful to let it waste. I'm 29 now, and I look back at 29 years and I'm like, magic, right? The next 29 will be even more magical, because it's beautiful. And there are people out there that have so much beauty to offer, and they're the ones that I'll accept. They're the ones that I'll call for. They're the ones that I yearn for. Anything less are you lost? What are you doing in my vicinity? Go. But how do they go? It's by me refusing to give it any time or effort or energy. It's all in my control. I'm not going to be a small, fickle, wounded creature that's like, oh, it just happened to me. No, my life fully in my control. Fully.
I love that. That's good.
Yeah.
I agree. It's good.
Yeah.
I mean, I've told you last episode, I've only ever dated two men, yeah, very seriously, very, yeah, committed, very wholeheartedly.
The second one you married.
Exactly. I learned from man number one. Do you see how hard I was trying? So I learned from relationship number one. I was fooled. The fooler was fooled.
You've been bamboozled.
I learned everything. I was mistreated. I was emotionally abused. I have learned from everything. I was looked down on. I wasn't good enough. Everything under the sun that can, like, basically F you up emotionally, I've been through that with the first. And I'm like, you know what? This is not going to happen again. Mm-hmm. And the moment anyone new or in my future will show any of those qualities, I'm out. Yeah. I'm not going to put myself through that again. Why would
not?
What? But that's the funny thing in this world is that
they put themselves through it again and again and
yes,
again.
Yes. It's, yep, like, guys, wake up. Wake the fuck up.
Reem has a lot to believe.
Wake the fuck up. It's true though. Honestly, I won't curse, but wake up.
No, Adi, she can just bleep it out. I don't want to cut anything today. Reem, even these shots, don't cut them. Like, I want
just,
this to
you know
be
what?
A smooth
I just have
podcast.
One message. No, but seriously, on the point of men are not men, you're right.
It's not. Yeah, I stand by my statement. Most men aren't proper men today for multiple reasons. They haven't had the proper father figures to show them how to be men. Or society and feminism and social media has completely warped their sense of manhood and their sense of duty and their sense of where their strength is sourced from. And then also religion hasn't been properly taught to them. And if all three are not found within a man, what does he have to do? What can he do? Of course he's going to find himself lost. But I stand by my statement. Most men aren't men today. They don't know what it means to sacrifice. They don't know what it means to be disciplined. They don't know what it means to give your life for what you believe in. They don't know what it means to be an intolerant man, which every man should be. And it's sad. I don't say this with hatred in my heart towards them. I say this with a broken heart because men should be men. And men are beautiful when they are men. And most women who are in their divine feminine in a partnership will tell you, by him being a divine masculine, he's enabled me to blossom into my divine feminine. They don't exist without the other. Let us make that very, very clear. Come after me all you want. They do not exist without the other.
I have a question for you. So okay. I think, just to the single girlies, is let's say a girl finds a guy that she's interested in and he's interested in her and he's a good guy. Come on. Good guy. But he doesn't have all of the qualities that, you know, she wants in a man. Is this something that she can kind of build those qualities with him, you know, for the future?
Depends
or
depends on the qualities.
Yeah.
Depends on the qualities. If he is a stingy, miserly, greedy man, these aren't qualities you can change. If he's sweet and kind and everything, بس منه كريم مش كريم ما بيعطي فلوس, like he's not generous, he's stingy, he doesn't want to spoil her, that's not something that you can change.
Yeah.
That's not something that you should want to change. You're number one, you're not God. Number two, you're not his mother. Number three, why are you concerned with changing someone else? Drop it, move on. God has better planned for you. This is something I've also realized that people are not aware of. When you tell the universe, you know what? I'm not going to say the universe because people get mad. When I say the universe, I mean God. But when you tell God, I'm ready for this thing that I've wanted for so long. I've changed my ways. I've changed my mindset. I'm ready for that job or that husband or that wife, whatever it may be. What do you think God does?
He answers it.
Yeah, but how do you think he answers it? Sorry. You think he just gives it to you on a plate of gold?
No.
No. Do you know what he does sometimes? Is that he tests you to make sure, are you actually ready for it? Because if you are not, 9 times out of 10, what you will do is you will ruin it and you will self-sabotage. So he'll send you something hidden in a package that looks like what you asked for, but it's not what you asked for. And all you have to do is genuinely open your eyes and see, wait, that's actually another narcissistic partner. No. And I'm going to drop it and I'm going to go back to my prayer mat and tell God, no, I meant what I said. I'm ready. And then maybe he'll send you what you're ready for because you showed him. I'm not joking around. I'm ready. I'm here. I'm disciplined.
That's so beautiful.
Most people don't do that. They just becomes it's this ego thing. And it's like, I worked so much on myself and, you know, nothing can fool me and I've got this. And then a man comes prancing or a woman comes prancing and said this before, they crumble like a house of cards. And this is where, alhamdulillah, I've noticed that I do better than when I used to when I was younger. I don't waver. If I tell God I'm ready for something, I'm not joking, I'm ready for it. So distractions are sent, I don't let them distract me. Things, a Trojan horse comes along and I don't let it happen. See, some people might fall for the Trojan horse and then go ahead and blame God. He's unmerciful and unkind.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right. I think we have one more question.
Go ahead.
So, I mean, obviously, a lot of our topics are based on, honestly, what we discuss. So this is like, none of it is planned, but it's just genuine conversations we have. And I think this one's a bit tricky. But I think this statement or question to you, it's something that gets to us girls. Let's not lie about it, okay, right?
Okay, what?
So it's about men paying. So should a man always, I know, but you know what? Be that as it may, it gets to us, girl, all girlies, right?
It's the truth. I know my answer.
I'll ask it again. So should men, you know, pay for everything? What is your stance on this?
Should a man pay for everything when it comes to the woman he's courting and the woman he wants to marry and be the mother of his children? Absolutely. He should want to never let her hand touch the bill. He should want to spoil her and love her and cater to all of her wants and her needs. Granted that she is also being the most amazing, beautiful, divine partner that she can be towards him. Should he? Yes. Can he always? No. I understand the economic limitations of today's society. I'm very, very aware of them. But regardless of whether he can or can't, inside, he should want to more than anything. She shouldn't be able to sleep at night knowing that he can't give his wife and children everything they've ever wanted. I'm a woman. I don't sleep at night if I can't give my family everything they've ever wanted. It's a joke if you're a man and you don't. Should you? Yes. Can you always? No. And I'm very aware of it. I was poor most of my life. I remember what it's like not having money to buy a kis andoumi, like a pack of noodles. Mm. It costs like 5 dirhams, less than a dollar. I understand the feeling very, very well. But you should want to.
Does it make him less of a man?
If he doesn't want to, yes. It doesn't make him a man at all. Of course. Well, what will make you a man? What are you going to do?
So just say, like, for example, I mean, just like going along the lines here. Let's say that a girl is going out with a guy. Maybe. Let's just say that a girl is going out with a guy. Come on. And they're on date number 6. They're on date number 6, okay?
Oh, I'll gladly pay.
So that's fine, right?
Yeah, of course.
It's okay for a girl to, you know, offer to pay and to pay at some point.
By the way, if a girl really wants to pay, I wouldn't offer to pay. I would get up, act like I'm going to the bathroom and give them my card and pay. That because if you know he's not, if he's a man of men and he hasn't like allowed you to pay, if you tell him, oh, he's going to fight you. Zalami Arabi, an Arab man? Imagine we're sitting on a date and I go for the bill. I swear it'll be the last time I see him. They'll take it as a big sign of disrespect. Rightfully so. I understand, you know. But if you want to be, and I have to preface with when I say now a man should, it's not that I can't afford anything I can. I can afford anything I want, alhamdulillah. But it's not about that, right? And even if I can, you should. But to me, it's about, yeah, let's say it's date number 5 or 6 or whatever. And I feel like this is a good man and he's been really sweet and taken me out and been consistent and made me feel very feminine. And if we're on a date, I will excuse myself and act like I'm going to the bathroom. I'll pay. And that'll be that. And they'll also appreciate it. You know what I mean? A good man will appreciate these things.
Yeah.
But yeah, men should always pay. I think it's the worst feeling in the world when you're sitting there. I'm not going to mention any names, but if they watch this, they'll know. I had a girlfriend go on a date with a guy and he looked at her and he was like, splitsies? Blasphemy.
Thank treason. God. You know, honestly, I'll say bamboozled. Something. I honestly thank my lucky stars that no, I've never been through that. I know it's not the end of the planet.
The thing is, it's not the end of the planet. I can afford, it's not about like, I need you to pay for me. Yeah. It's not about that, but I'm giving you my time and my energy and I'm trying to meet my husband. You know what I mean? It's just, if you can't take a girl out on a date, don't take her out on a date. Sit by your lonesome.
It's a disappointment. Let's just put it at that.
Facts.
Disappointment.
Facts. I think we can wrap it up, baby girl.
Hey, we have 6 minutes.
Oh, okay. A meticulous one she is.
Huh?
I said a meticulous one
she is. What can I say, man? I respect your time. Dude, listen, I just have to say this quote. Why don't you like this line I ever always tell you?
Get comfortable with being uncomfortable?
Yes.
Huff.
Why? Just explain.
I'm cursing you in my head.
Why don't you like it?
A plague on both your houses.
May the Lord enter.
For the night is dark and full of terrors.
What is dead cannot die. What is dead may never die. No, but seriously, why don't you like it?
Get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Afaf, it's a great quote. It's the way you say it to me.
Thank you.
You get all up and close and just, it's weird. I don't like it.
Get uncomfortable with being
uncomfortable. Get
comfortable with being uncomfortable.
I'm very comfortable with being uncomfortable.
But do you believe in it?
Yeah, my entire existence is uncomfortable.
My relationship with you is uncomfortable and you're telling this to me.
My existence is uncomfortable, but I'm very comfortable in that. That's it? That's all you wanted to say about get comfortable with being uncomfortable? Yeah. Do you feel better now that you've said it out loud in front of everyone?
Yeah, I mean, you just never, every time I say it, because I think honestly, it's a very simple line, but honestly, it means the world.
It's everything, but there's something more important to me than that. I had someone ask me once, I think I mentioned this before, but someone asked me once, if you could ask for anything in the world, what would you ask for? And I said, the rida. And the rida means to accept and be satisfied with anything that God bestows upon you, good or bad. So to be comfortable with being uncomfortable is to be content and satisfied with whatever God bestows upon me. So even when I told you now my existence is uncomfortable, I'm very comfortable with that because I'm radiyah. Anything that Allah sends my way, it's alhamdulillah, and whatever you need of me, whatever you want of me, I will do no questions asked. There's nothing more comfortable than that. It is the ultimate state to aspire to. So that is my goal more than anything in the world, for sure.
It's beautiful.
Thanks,
babe. I'm going to ask one more question.
Okay. It's never going to finish.
Thy will ask one more question.
Thy may ask whatever thy pleases.
If you could choose... I swear, it's actually an interesting question. If you could choose to have a superpower, what would you choose? Wallah, it's such a good question.
It is a good question.
Wallah.
It is a good question. I would read minds.
Oof, that's such a burden.
No, because it wouldn't be like Patrick Ness's Monsters of Men series. It's a great book trilogy where they could not turn it on and off. I would be able to turn it on and off, but I would absolutely read people's minds.
I don't know. That sounds kind of invasive.
Get comfortable with being uncomfortable, baby girl. I can read your thoughts.
Get uncomfortable with being uncomfortable.
Get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Why do you keep screwing up your own?
I don't know.
What would you pick?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
I'd pick being invisible.
That's not invasive?
Oh, not invisible to be a peeping Tom, but invisible to...
It's giving peeping Tom vibes, baby girl.
Now that I think, you just ruined my dream. Like, you just... No, I would... Oh, no, teleport. I would teleport.
See, I thought of teleportation.
Yeah, I would want to teleport.
But then I remembered that movie Jumper.
Oh, yeah. The one with the girl from the OC.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Yeah,
you know? But if I read people's minds, I could still rob banks. So we're good. Anyway, thank you guys so much for joining us for another episode of Conversations with My Conscience 2.0, because Afaf is my second conscience.
Thank you, everyone. No, honestly, I like this episode. Thank you for having me.
You're going to be here once a week. It's not really up to you. Jesus, I don't know why you keep saying this.
Okay, so I'm here not for a short time. I'm here for a long time. I don't know. That wasn't a good quote.
You need to stop with this. Anyway, thank you guys so much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah, good. Woohoo!